assessing off Hawaii with at least one Japanese aircraft carrier in action against Pearl Harbor. An American freighter has been torpedoed east of Hawaii, about 1,600 miles west of San Francisco. This places Japanese naval units nearer the west coast of the United States than the Hawaiian Islands. A flash just received says that the Japanese are now bombing British naval bases. The White House announced late today that heavy damage has been inflicted in the Japanese attack on Hawaii and that there probably has been heavy loss of life. This official statement was supported by the statement of NBC's own observer in America's Pacific Outpost that 350 Army men had been killed at Hickman Field at Hawaii. Rear Admiral Blatt, meanwhile, sent a detailed list of some casualties to the White House. Army officials say that two Japanese planes have been shot down in the Honolulu area. The dead include three Caucasians, two Japanese, and a 10-year-old Portuguese girl. Several fires were started in the city area as the Japanese planes made their first sweep over Honolulu. Governor Joseph B. Poindexter proclaimed an emergency day in defense measures and called them in effect. First reports from Honolulu say that 10 or more persons were injured when enemy planes sprayed bullets on the streets of Wahawaia, a town of about 3,000 people located 20 miles from Honolulu. This report indicated that the Japanese aerial attack, which began at dawn, was aimed at points on the island of Honolulu other than the capital city and the heavily fortified Pearl Harbor naval base. Witnesses said they counted at least 50 planes in the first Japanese attack. Unconfirmed reports say that the attacking aircraft came from two airplane carriers. United States destroyers were seen steaming full speed from Pearl Harbor, and spectators declared that they saw shell splashes in the ocean, which indicated, of course, that there had been an engagement between Japanese and the American warship. Despite an announcement from the White House saying that Manila in the Philippines also was under attack, dispatches from those islands indicate that it was all quiet during the early morning hours. But just a few minutes ago, the United States Navy imposed a censorship on all messages to Manila. NBC's observer in Honolulu gave this description of the Japanese air and naval attack. Quote, "We have witnessed this morning the attack of Pearl Harbor and a severe bombing of Pearl Harbor by Army planes, undoubtedly Japanese. The city of Honolulu has 3 hours. One of these bombs dropped within 50 feet of our transmission tower. It's no joke. It's a real war. The public of Honolulu have been advised to keep in their homes and away from the Army and Navy. There has been severe fighting going on in the air and on the sea." And at this point, the speaker was uninterrupted. But a few minutes later, he resumed and said, "We have no statement now as to how much damage has been done, but it has been a very severe attack. The Army and Navy, it appears, not have the air and sea, or rather that word should be now instead of not, have the air and sea under control." And that was the news as reported by NBC's observer in Honolulu. The Barrington High School in the city was converted into a hospital to care for the wounded and injured. Soon after the attack started, the sky over Hawaii was filled with puffs of smoke, showing that anti-aircraft batteries had gone into action. This news came to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
We delay the start of our following program now to bring you a special broadcast. We take you now to Manila. We take you again
NBC
to Manila.
This is Bert Silent speaking from Manila. The world by now knows what has happened in the Hawaiian Islands this morning. There appears to be an erroneous report that the bombing occurred in the Philippine Islands. Such, however, is not the case, and there appears to be no effort on the part of the Japanese, at least at this time, to invade the Philippines. I have just finished speaking to President Quezon over the telephone in Baguio. I asked the president for a statement, and here's what he said. The zero hour is here. Every man and woman must be prepared to do his duty. This is the order of the day. I asked him further if he would declare immediate evacuation from Manila. He replied that it was entirely up to General Douglas MacArthur. It is expected, however, that immediate evacuation of all danger zones, particularly Manila, will be ordered immediately, and that some form of martial law will be declared. We have just intercepted a message from Tokyo, from Imperial Headquarters. The Japanese government announced that since dawn on Sunday, Japan was in a state of war with the United States and Great Britain in the Western Pacific. We have also just received the news from President Roosevelt that other places besides Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands were attacked and bombed. It appears that all military and naval activities on the island of Oahu have been bombed. Navy intelligence of the United States Navy has just informed us that effective at once, no messages can be sent out of the Philippine Islands except in plain English. That is to say that no code or foreign language messages will be allowed. Naturally, the news of the bombing of the Hawaiian Islands came as a complete surprise to everyone here. Of all places in the Pacific, Honolulu was the last place expected to start this bombshell of war in the Far East. It appears at first glance that Japan is trying to keep the United States forces in or near the Hawaiian Islands to prevent interference with a prospective invasion of Thailand. It will be interesting to note in the next few hours what action Great Britain will take in this connection. As you know, British forces have been massing on the Burma frontier of Thailand, and Japanese forces have been massing on the Indochina frontier of Thailand, where Thailand seems to be caught in the middle. Whichever way the game goes, Thailand seems to be out of luck. It is believed that Great Britain will not hesitate to go into Thailand to prevent a Japanese invasion there, directed at the Burma Road and the Yunnan province. We really haven't anything further to say at this time. We contacted General Douglas MacArthur early this morning by telephone, and he refused to make a statement so early in the game. Merely said that all Army and Navy forces in the Far East were on the alert and would await further word from Washington before making any further statements. We expect to be in constant contact with the National Broadcasting Company throughout the day, and as soon as any new developments, particularly pertaining to the Philippines, occur, we will do our best to give them to you. This is Bert Sarin speaking from Manila, now returning you to NBC.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
We now invite you to join the audience listening to the program of the New Friends of Music, coming to you from Town Hall in New York City. At this moment, the featured artist of the evening, the Gordon String Quartet, is performing the quartet in D major of Mozart. The artists are in the midst of the second movement.
We interrupt our program now to bring you a special broadcast from Washington.
Okay. Rockage talking from the crowded newsroom in the White House. Steve Early, the secretary of the president, has just come in. He came back from the studio of the president upstairs, and he announced this, that word had just come from the Navy Department that an unidentified squadron of airplanes had been sighted over Guam. A few moments more, the secretary Early had told us that the president had been talking over the telephone with Governor Poindexter in Manila, and he confirmed the news that the damage was great there, even in the city itself. He said, too, this dramatic thing, that while they were talking, a second batch of planes were coming over. The president has been trying to get in touch with Manila through the Army and the Navy to find out what the damage is there. They've been unable to do so. However, he is disposed to believe, as he put it, that perhaps the damage is not as great as originally reported, or perhaps there has been no raid at all in Manila. And just now the Secretary of State has given out a statement. As I told you, when he received the reply to his earlier communication from the Japanese delegates, he was exceedingly angry. He said that he had never seen a document from any government that contained the untruths that this did. And then he gave out this formal statement along with the actual documents themselves. I'm quoting now from what the Secretary of State said. He said Japan has made a treacherous and unprovoked war against the United States. At the very moment when the representatives of the Japanese government were discussing with the representatives of this government, at the request of the former, the principles and the course of peace, the armed forces of Japan were preparing and assembling at various strategic points to launch new attacks and new aggressions upon other nations and peoples, with which the Japanese were professedly at peace, including the United States. I am now releasing, he says, for the information of the American people, these documents which state the principles upon which the United States hoped to base its settlement of peace, which he handed to the Japanese on November 26. He says he is also releasing the text of the Japanese reply, which was handed to me by the Japanese ambassador today. Before the Japanese ambassador delivered this final statement from his government, the treacherous attack upon the United States had already taken place. And then he concludes, this government has stood for all the principles that of fair dealing, of peace, law, and order, and justice between nations, and has steadfastly striven to promote and maintain that state of relations between itself and all nations. It is now apparent to the whole world that Japan, in its recent professions of a desire for peace, has been infamously false and fraudulent. That is the end of the Secretary's quotation, and it strikes home to me, for only yesterday afternoon, I sat in the Japanese embassy and carried on a conversation, supposedly frank and free, with the emissary himself from Japan, who was supposed to be here attempting to secure peace. And he talked to me, as I thought, sincerely. In fact, I am almost constrained to believe that Mr. Kurosu and such an element in Japan, perhaps, which was trying to strive for peace, was ignorant of what was actually going on at home. I can hardly believe otherwise. That's all from the moment from the newsroom in Washington. Thanks very much. I return you now to New York. Thank you.
Samuel Weiss, William Linter, and Fitz Maugg has been featured in the seventh concert in the regular Sunday subscription series of the New Friends of Music. The artists are now returning to the stage for another bow from the audience. Mr. Gordon and his colleagues performed the string quartet in D major by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. This quartet has another and more easily remembered name. It is one of the Berlin Quartet, so called because it was composed in the German capital upon commission from the German King, Frederick William II. The New Friends of Music will be off the air during the holiday season. The next program in the series will take place on Sunday, January 4th. It will be the first of five consecutive programs devoted to Franz Schubert's piano music, played by the distinguished Austrian pianist, Otto Schnabel. These concerts come to you from the stage of New York City's Town Hall.
We complete this program period with a brief interlude of organ music featuring George Crook at the console. This is the National Broadcasting Company.